This is Thoughts Become Things. With each episode, we'll help you reach the highest creative potential that God has for you. With your host, a teacher, life coach, a dream coach, and motivational speaker, Jeremy Lopez.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another podcast of Thoughts Become Things. I'm Jeremy Lopez, and once again, I'm so honored that you guys decided to join with me today, and I hope you're actually maybe drinking some good coffee, or maybe one of your favorite juices, or maybe water. God knows water's so much better for us anyway. You know, before I start, I'll tell you this. I was watching a documentary last night that I believe is really good for all of us. It's called In Defense of Food. In Defense of Food. And it was a powerful video, really sharing a lot of the balance part of eating and what actually is nutritious for us and what really things do we need to avoid. And it's interesting because, you know, watching this documentary, I was thinking about all the sugars and everything, and they talked about this. They had this huge big gallon of sugar, and they said this is how much sugar a person, you know, takes in within a year period, from Cokes to just everything. And even food that we go to restaurants have sugar in it. It's really a sad thing, and our kids are getting obese. And so anyway, so the whole video was actually very good, and I would really highly recommend that each one of you watch it, because the truth is, folks, we've got to start eating better. You know, I've cut a lot of sugar out of my diets. I used to be a big sweet tea drinker, because here in Alabama, people drink sweet tea. But yet, when I began to cut out even just drinking sweet tea, which I would drink maybe 2 glasses a day, I started losing weight. Now, once again, I'm not really overweight, but yet I started losing weight, and it showed me exactly how much my body did not need that sugar. And I began to cut that out. I began to eat more salads, more greens, and, you know, and the whole documentary is on, you can find it on Netflix, by the way. It's called In Defense of Food, and it's on Netflix, but it talks a lot about plant life, and yet everything goes back to plant life. Not even meats per se, but plant life. And, you know, even too much meat, of course, is bad for you, but you can never go wrong with plants, fruits, and vegetables. And the truth is, folks, people are living longer lives. It showed people that had maybe up in their, you know, 90s, and even one lady that was 100 that was pretty much jogging. I mean, these people were active, and yet they said, we've been vegetarians all of our lives. We've done this, we've done that. And so truthfully, folks, if you really want to play Russian roulette with your life, then continue to eat the way you're eating. But if you desire to do something better for your body because you truly know and respect and you truly honor what God has said by knowing that your body is the temple of God, then you'll begin to do what is right. And doing what is right is so much better than just doing something by autopilot and eating whatever it is you want to eat. Train yourself. Your body is longing and starving for something healthier than what you've been feeding it. Train yourself. Love yourself enough to give yourself good, healthy food. Here's what I tell people. And once again, this is not really what I want to talk about as far as on the podcast today, but I want to share these things with you. Here's what I say. Most of us would go and say to ourselves, we don't drink, we don't smoke, you know, or we don't cuss, we don't like to be around cussing because we're Christian people, but yet we're the same ones who will turn around and drink a Diet Coke, which has aspartame, and aspartame is 101% known to cause cancer, Alzheimer's, you know, dementia. We turn around and eat a Snickers candy bar. We turn around and get a glass of sweet tea that has all this sugar in it, that knowing that sugar is so bad for you, it puts fat on you, and yet we don't want to be around cussing, but yet we have no issue with actually eating things that are toxic, processed, things that are bad for our body. Here's what I call that. I call that hypocritical. Can I get an amen? I call that hypocritical, because you have to remember, every time you eat, you know, every time you drink a Diet Coke, or Coke for that matter, or anytime you eat red meat that is almost bloody, what you're doing is you're using the absolute worst F-bomb, if I can say that, than ever. So every time you do that, you need to say a cuss word to yourself, because that's the same thing you're doing. You're actually hurting yourself. In fact, cuss words said out loud, folks, won't hurt your body. It might make you look bad, and you might shoot your reputation, but the truth is, saying cuss words won't even hurt your body, but you pursue consuming those Diet Cokes, those Cokes, the sugar-based foods, processed foods that are not naturally, organically grown, you're literally literally doing, you're killing yourself. You're committing suicide. And what you're saying is, I have no love, no respect for my body. Therefore, I have no love and respect for God's word, because God's word talks about honoring your temple, taking care of the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, you might say, well, that's a little harsh, but see, that's what you need to do. You need to come hard on yourself to know, I've got to start loving and speaking positive things to my body, because my body is not only starving for it, but my body deserves for me to treat it good. So I wanted to share that with you guys today. So here's what I want to talk about today, something totally different. That was my rabbit trail for each one of you today. And what I want to talk about today basically is something for nothing. And the reason why, because throughout the years of life coaching, being a prophet, and just traveling around the globe, you know, speaking the word of the Lord to people, I've noticed that people tend to always rely on what we call signs, wonders, and miracles. They always want something for nothing. There's not a paying a price, because then they turn around and say, well, it's not my works, lest any man should boast. I should never have to work for anything. But the Bible makes it plain, and the same people who might say the scripture as far as it's not by works, but I beg to differ, because we're dealing with something of a salvation issue. You're dealing with something that is above and beyond, outside the norm of humanity, is what he's talking about. It's not that actually is something of the works issue, of what it is we can't obtain, knowing that we can't do it with our own natural flesh. But what the scriptures is talking about on another verse is a man that doesn't what? Work, doesn't eat. And people have asked me before, what does that mean exactly, Jeremy? Here's what it means. I taught this in my School of Financial Perception and Mental Economics, because I wanted to be able to bring forth the idea that it's not about the fact that you sit home lazy. It is the fact that God requires you and expects you to work. But here's the great thing about the scripture, is a man that doesn't work doesn't eat, which means when you work, you're going to get the bare minimum of eating. In other words, you won't go hungry, but it doesn't mean you're going to be a millionaire. Doesn't mean you're going to get a harvest. It doesn't mean you're going to get this huge abundance. It literally means if you don't work, here's what happens, that when you work, the bare minimum of what's going to be done for you is you'll have food on the table. That's what it means. So it's not promising you a rose garden. It's not promising you a harvest. And most people feel that the more hours they work a week, then the more they'll be able to do something about it. In other words, they'll become the millionaires they long to be. They'll be able to do this and do that. And it doesn't mean the hard work doesn't pay off. But what it's saying to you is you're going to have to learn to work your mind and not your behind, which means you can work hard on a job, but until you step out of another man's slavery. Can you hear what I'm saying? Until you step out of being a slave unto someone else's vision, and you begin to get a vision for yourself, and you begin to understand that not only is it, it's okay for me to work to help cater to another person's vision, but at the same time, I've got to begin to cultivate my vision, because I'm not going to be a slave forever. I'm not going to be able to be at the place where I'm serving so much the rest of my life, but there's got to be a balance of being a leader and a follower at the same time, because even great leaders are made from great servants. So there is a climbing up the corporate ladder spiritually and naturally when you begin to serve. But on the other hand, though, you can't turn out to be a slave to another man's vision. Eventually, it's like the Bible talks about, you know, the plower will overtake the reaper, which basically is letting you know that what's going to happen is after a while there is a shifting and a changing that should take place in every person's life. That means you have to learn to go from one stage to another stage, line upon line, precept on precept. So it's not the harder you work within your job that makes you rich or makes you this or that. It means that what you've got to do is you've got to begin to take it for what it is at the moment and say to yourself, I'm not going to be at this place forever in my life, but at the time, but at the present moment, in my present now moment reality, I'm going to be able to serve, because what I sow is what I'm going to reap back. And if I serve in pleasing another man's vision because of what he started, which, by the way, that owner of that company deserves that, because they've paid a price and you haven't yet. But there should be a time that's coming for you when you begin to allow the metamorphosis of the caterpillar to become the butterfly, where the servant also becomes the leader, which means after a while you should be changing. You should be evolving. You should be shifting into something else. So you might say, well, wait a minute, hold on. I thought the podcast was talking about something for nothing. It is. And that's the place I want you to get to, is understanding that you have to work. Working is a biblical principle. It's a universal principle. What you sow, you reap back. It's called, you know, people say it's a law of cause and effect. Other religions call it karma. The truth is, the way the universe is set up, what you put out there, you're going to get back in return. And what you put out there usually is of a sacrificial giving of your energy, your talent, your time, your hands to work, whatever it is. It's a sacrifice that needs to be given in some type of committed servanthood that you're going to be able to reap it back. But what the Bible says is that's awesome and great. But the fact that you're just working only guarantees you the power to eat. It doesn't guarantee you anything more than that. So we have to be able to come in and out and through of what working does for you to come up hither, to come up higher, and realize just working another man's vision is not where the key of victory truly lies. That only gets me the right to eat. Now that I said that, I'd also say this. So, we see where working is the first general thing we should do in understanding. There's got to be an awakening in consciousness to begin to shift me into a place to get more of whatever it is I need in my life and desire to move up. So that's the first key. But the bottom totem pole of where most people reside is not even that of working. It's not even the first universal principle of basically trying to get what it is you need in the more arena. But what most people do is find themselves in a place where they want something for nothing. And they rely too much on what I call signs, wonders, and miracles, as opposed to becoming a sign, a wonder, and a miracle. And that means you shouldn't always say, God, give me a miracle, because what you're trying to say, what you're really saying, is in some areas, not all, but in some areas, because some things you can control, but some things you can control. And what you're really trying to say on some areas of your life is, Lord, I want to bypass your words. I want to bypass the universal law, the kingdom law, the biblical law, whatever you want to call it, of me actually doing something to get something in return. I want to bypass all of that. I want to write off the scriptures, write them off, and I want you to begin to give me something where I don't have to do anything at all. And the truth is, folks, that's not how the world works. That's not how the kingdom works. It even goes for people, and I'm going to say this as well. It even goes for people, for example, that even have cancer. It goes for any type of disease, heart disease. These things can be eradicated and eliminated. And so even when it goes to people like cancer, there's a lady who I actually had the privilege to meet years ago in D.C. Her name her last name is Carr, Chris Carr, that's it, Chris Carr, and she is a well-known motivational speaker, and one thing she taught on is, she had a book called Crazy Love, Loving Cancer, something, you know, like off-the-wall type of title, but what she says is, she said, I was diagnosed over, I think, 13, 14, 15 years ago of a cancer that, I don't remember what part of the body it's in, but it's sort of contained in an organ that they say said within 2 years you will be dead. Like, there's no cure for it. You will be dead. You know, because it's a type of cancer that really you can't really expose it. You can't do anything with it. It you know, chemotherapy to me doesn't reach it. And so what she was talking about was, she said, I have to change my life. I have to change my life. And what she began to do is, she began to get rid of everything, every type of food known to man that was processed, and she went back to basics of organic foods. I mean, she jumped into lettuce, she jumped into vegetables, she jumped into things that she grew herself, she jumped into smoothies that were 101% organic, not adding even one grain of sugar. Why? Because everyone knows, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know, folks, that even when you're in the hospital and you have cancer, what do they feed you? They feed you Jell-O, they feed you processed foods, they feed you things that are packed full of cancer, I mean sugar. And folks, listen to me. Sugar, you're asking for a Russian roulette moment, because sugar increases and enhances cancer. And yet the hospitals who are trying to take away the cancer, supposedly, are the same ones who are feeding you the sugar that is aggravating and grow and putting growth to your cancer. And so here's what we have to do. What she did is, she went back to basics, organic stuff. And guess what, folks? She's still alive and kicking today. She's doing amazing. In fact, she's traveling the world, and her cancer has completely shrunk with absolutely positively not even 1 ounce of chemotherapy, not even 1 ounce of medication to her body at all. But she changed the way she thought, and she changed the way she ate. And because of that, what did she do? She began to work. So in other words, she worked the principle of organic. She worked the principle of getting back to the basics of the foundations that we were created to eat on things on planet Earth. And when she did that, guess what? The cancer began to decrease and began to go away. Miracle? Absolutely. What did she do? She didn't work her behind, she worked her mind. Because you begin to move in that place where you think positive, you speak to your body, you begin to think, because thoughts do become things, and what you think in your heart, you begin to manifest within your body and outside of that. And she worked it. And as she began to work her mind to a place of saying, I can either go this route of receiving it, or I can receive the report of knowing that I can begin to eat things that are healthy for me, and not with just what everyone else tells me on autopilot I should be doing. So what did she do? She worked the highest level of what she was known to have, which was her mind and not necessarily her behind. And so you understand that there's shiftings and changings that go on when you begin to have a true paradigm shift in the mind to say, I'm not going to be in this place forever. I don't want to be able to just have God perform some miracle with me not doing anything. I want to work the highest part of who I am as a being, which is my mind, that what God's given me. Call it the mind of Christ or whatever, but that's what God is asking you to do. Because here's the key thing, folks. If you're thinking that one day you're going to sit down and just expect a check in the mail for no reason, that's great, wonderful, and those things can happen. And they do happen sometimes. But most of the time what God is saying is you've got to honor my word. You've got to honor the fact that you have to work. You have to work in order to get the bare minimum of eating. Because what happens is when you want something for nothing, what you're doing is you're not actually exercising your creativeness. You're not putting your foot to the pedal in the sense of exercising your mind that God's given you. And you're not wanting to dive into learning, because those who seek, find. Those who knock, that door shall be opened for them. And what you're doing is you're bypassing every scripture, every universal principle. And guess what's going to happen? You will never become successful. You will never amount to anything. Truthfully, because of the fact you've got potential in you to do and be and whatever it is that you need to do and be, but what God is saying to you is it's time for you to start working the highest part of who you are and the higher version of yourself, and that is the mind of Christ that worketh in you. And when you begin to do that, you'll find great discoveries. There's power when you begin to dive into being a leader and saying, what is the best thing I can do for my situation? Because truly, a man that doesn't work will not eat. End of discussion. And so you can't expect something for nothing. You've got to be prepared, folks, to pay the price. You've got to begin to be prepared to pay the price. And guess what? The Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. When you begin to obey, you begin to obey, and you begin to call those things that be not as though they were. You begin to work the word. You begin to put your resume together. You begin to get out there and start dating. You know, when you begin to say, you know what, if I truly want a mate, because he who finds a wife finds a good thing, then I'm going to truly honor God and not make God do all the work and bring him to my front door. That's not God, and God doesn't like that and appreciate that. What God does like is when you begin to be the highest version of yourself, and you begin to make sure you are mapped out in every arena known to man, to where the person who you're supposed to be with will find you, because you're going to meet them halfway. Where's halfway? You know what? You put yourself out there, and that's your halfway point. You want to get a healthy body, then meet God halfway, or meet where it is you need to be halfway, and that is you start eating better. You begin to work the system of what you know truly is healthy for you, and stop playing Russian roulette with your body. You want to begin to get a great job? Begin to educate yourself. Begin to dive into books and teachings. Begin to research on, we have this amazing thing called Google and Yahoo and internet. Begin to put stuff in it and begin to do research. Begin to listen to podcast and teachings outside of your own little genre world, your little genre, you know, that you listen to. Get outside the box, folks. Listen to things that are outside of what it is you've been taught. What you've been taught obviously has not been doing you any good, because you're still the same place in your life. Are you with me? See, we think, well, man, I've been listening to this person or that person. I'm getting some great teaching. And yet you've been, and then after a while, guess what happens? That stuff becomes stale. But you are too numb to see that it's now stale in your life. And if you wake up and you're in the same place and the same shoes you were a year ago, it doesn't mean something's necessarily wrong. It just means you are long overdue for change. And when you begin to dive into changing, because energy is always flowing, when you begin to dive into what I call abundant change, that means stay in the flow of the river of change. Constantly step outside of your box. Step outside of your limitation and listen to people. Go outside your limitations and your borders of your state, your city. Go outside of your own genre. Go outside of your own denomination. Go outside of your own religion, for goodness sake. Get into things to learn about how other people live and what is healthy about people. When I begin to watch the documentary on Netflix about In Defense of Food, they did studies. They sent scientists and nutritionists to people from South Africa to compare those people from South Africa, and they took the African Americans in those in Pennsylvania, and they lined them up with those that are in South Africa because they still have the same ethnic background. And what they begin to do is they begin to do research to find out, why is Americans so overweight? Why is Americans dying, quicker? What causes these tribes in the deepest parts of South Africa to outlive people? How are they staying healthy and how are they staying, thinner? And it wasn't about the fact that those we're talking about that were starving and didn't have food. We're talking about those tribes who actually had, gardens and things that they ate from. And it showed them. They would pick berries off trees and begin to eat them. They begin to do things that were organic and not processed. And what happens is they shift the food toward they introduced to the South Africans in this rural area in this tribe. They began to give them processed foods. They began to give them the things that we eat here. And then what they did for the people they selected in Pennsylvania, they then began to give them just total organic foods of what the people in the tribe in South Africa ate as well. And guess what? Within 2 weeks, folks, within 2 week period, they saw a dramatic change, not only in their metabolism, they saw a dramatic change within the parts of their digestive system. They began to notice that they had actually the healthy bacteria that they needed as far as the ones in Pennsylvania, and yet the ones in South Africa, within 2 week period, their bacteria within their gut began to be the bad bacteria. And it within 2 weeks, and it showed them that truly we are killing ourselves. We are setting ourselves up for basically suicide. And what you've got to do is you've got to begin to understand, in my life, I can't expect something for nothing. I've got to begin to dive in and make a change for myself. Make a change for myself. And so we're talking about, folks, money-wise. We're talking about job-wise. We're talking about food-wise. We're talking about everything in your life. How you think about other people is going to come back on you. Begin to look at your life and say, you know what? I refuse to be the person who gets something for nothing. I want to be at a place where I can look back and say, you know what? This kingdom wasn't just handed to me. You know, I wasn't just born with a silver spoon in my mouth, but I worked the system. You can look at people like the Kardashians. You might say, oh gosh. Or you might say, oh me, I love them. Whatever it is, how you feel about them. You can look at rich kids and they'll tell you what they did was they began to take after their parents. They began to open up. They began to open up their own line of clothing. They began to have their name on, as trademarks on different things. They began to create. They began to go to shows, fashion shows and different things. Why? Because they knew that their money would run out one day unless they established something for themselves, which means they began to create their own reality. And guess what happens? That reality show that the Kardashians have, now each one of their kids are on either their own shows, or either they have their own clothing line or their own shops. Did you know, I think it's Kim Kardashian who her and her sister actually own several stores now. And you know what they did? They realized that we've got to brand ourselves to survive in this world. And folks, here's the idea. When you become the head and quit being the tail, your life will change. When you begin to look at your life and realize, I also, I as well can can begin to do something with my life. I can begin to brand myself, to market myself. I can begin to put my resume together and begin to get another job that I really need. I can begin to do these things. And don't always use an excuse of, well, I'm less educated, or maybe I'm overweight, or maybe I don't have enough weight, or maybe I'm not attractive, or maybe I feel like my speech is not the best. Folks, let me tell you something. Get rid of your excuses. Get rid of your excuses and realize I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. There's nothing in this universe that is impossible for you to accomplish. And your excuses are nothing more than that, just that. They're your excuses, because you know that if you applied yourself and got out of the mode of wanting something for nothing, your life would change. People who want something for nothing are people who will never amount to anything. No offense, but it's true. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never have anything that you want because of the simple fact you're wishing upon a star, when what you should be doing is you should be applying yourself to improve yourself, to know that you are a leader, to know that you're not a follower, to know that you can create your own world. And folks, let me tell you something. I am a living proof of that. I began to create my own world years ago. I began to say, you know what? If it's not, I'm not going to expect something to be handed to me. I'm going to work for it. I'm going to begin to write books. Then I'm going to write ebooks. And I'm going to have my own website. I'm going to become a life coach and study for that. I'm going to begin to travel and put myself out there. I'm going to start this other website. I'm going to begin to, now I'm in real estate. We have properties that we're renting out to people. And I'm not even half done. I've just tapped into a little bit of the resources of the businesses that I own, because I realize I cannot stop. I must continue to press towards the mark of the high call and not the low call, in order to not survive, but to thrive and be successful in this world. Now, you might say to yourself, well, success to me is defined a little different, Jeremy. It's not just about what you accumulate. And you know what? I agree with you completely. Success is not about what we own. But I will tell you this, folks. You know what? It helps. It helps to know that you're not struggling from day to day. You're not struggling and you're living from paycheck to paycheck. And if you are, don't find yourself saying, I can just pick up another part-time job. If you need to, that's a great start. But folks, you know what you should do is sit down and learn to be creative. Somebody made a bobby pin and made a lot of money off of it. Somebody created the ribbons and made a lot of money off of it. Somebody created the pencils and made a lot of money off of it. Somebody created those little things that you put between your fingers and you spin them as a stress reliever, and somebody got rich off of it. Folks, there is more billions and trillions and quadrillions of inventions that have never been created, that are in the spirit realm, that are just waiting on somebody to say, I'm tired of living my life the way it is. I want to start being creative, because I am a co-creator. I am a creator in my world, in my sphere of influence, and I can do it. And you know what? It's those people who become successful. It's those people who truly leave an inheritance for their children and their children's children. And truthfully, folks, I don't know anyone else around me who actually has the power to do that. But I am working on that myself. I'm working on that myself to leave something for the next generation. And that's what I want to do for me. And I want to be able to see you do the same thing for your life. Don't settle for something less than God's very best for you. Don't settle and say, I just know I can just believe for something. If I think it, I'll have it. No. It's time that you work for. It's time to put your foot to the pedal and begin to realize there's a price to pay if you want to be able to be something. There's a price to pay on things you want to have. There's a price to pay. And when you begin to decrease and you allow God to increase in you and give you the creative ability to do it, and you know what God's going to do? He's going to say, now here's your creative thought. Now work the system and get it done. And that's the desire and the goal for all of us, is to be something that we can look back on and say, I can leave a legacy spiritually, but I can also leave a legacy naturally. See, I don't want to die one day and just leave a legacy spiritually, because that's wonderful and that's great, because spiritually it'll be forever. But I also want to leave something where naturally people can see with their own eyes and say, wow, look, you know what? He was a dynamic man. He lived for God, but he also worked the system to make his life count. And look at this generation that came after him. They as well were blessed by his inheritance. They as well were blessed by the money or the houses that he left behind. That's a key thing, folks. And here's the key thing. I determined in my life, I don't want to make money just from ministry. I want to make money from things that I'm working for my own companies. And you know what? I started that and it's working for me. And you can do it as well, folks. All you have to do is learn to love yourself and know that you are powerful and you have the potential and you are creative just as much as the next person is. And you can do whatever it is you put your hand to the plow and not look back on. And I believe in you. I believe you can do that today and every day. And one day, what you sow, you will begin to reap back. And you know what? You won't reap it back just 30-fold or 60-fold. You'll reap it back 100-fold. And you'll say, how on earth, God, did I ever get to this place in my life? And God will say, because we worked it together, son or daughter. We worked it together, and you began to be creative, and you worked hard, and you bled, sweat, and tears, but you did it, son. You did it, daughter. Well done, that good and faithful servant. Folks, thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. I'm so honored once again and privileged that you guys are here today to join with me each and every week on Wednesdays or whenever you decide to listen to the podcast to be a part of our lives. Because I want you to know, spiritually, I'm a part of yours. I want you to be able to be the best version of who God created you to be today. By the way, do not forget to check out my new course. It's a brand new course we just launched recently, and it's extremely powerful, but it's called School of Restoration from Spiritual Abuse, Pitfalls, and Fear. School of Restoration from Spiritual Abuse, Pitfalls, and Fear. I'm going to help you to be able to train you of what it means to be restored from people in the church that you felt like spiritually abused you. I'm going to teach you about what a healthy pastor is versus what an unhealthy pastor is. I'm going to teach you how to spot a manipulator. If you are the actual one that is the manipulator, I'll tell you how you can tell if you are one or not. I'm going to help you to begin to be restored from people you once trusted and people you thought should be on your side. Doesn't always mean that they're bad. It just means sometimes, if not all the times, every one of us come to a place in our lives where we're all wounded to some degree, shape, form, or fashion. And I want to be able to begin to open your eyes to show you if you're the wounded or if you're the one that it actually is doing the wounded, wounding. You know what? Either way, I want you to spot it out to where you can change your life today and be restored. So go on the website, identitynetwork.net, and when you do, you'll see the school on the front page. It's called School of Restoration from Spiritual Abuse, Pitfalls, and Fear. Or you can call the office at 205-362-7133. Thank you so much. Have an awesome week, and we'll talk to you next week.
This has been the Thoughts Become Things podcast with Jeremy Lopez, helping you reach your highest creative potential that God has for you. For more episodes, products, and information on Jeremy, visit www.identitynetwork.net.